Our text today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. Paul writes to Timothy, "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And you may be seated. Well, the context of our text today is really prophecy from the Apostle Paul, who's telling Timothy that, telling Timothy and us, the church, that there will come a time when those who would align themselves with Jesus Christ would actually forbid people to marry and commanded them to abstain from certain foods. And of course, this was always a big concern of Paul because he was so much interested in, and rightly so, the liberty that comes from the gospel, where, you know, there's not to be any laws, any requirements to go along with our salvation. It's to be a gift from God. And one of the things that he wanted to tell us here, and he wants us to see, is that both marriage and food is a gift from God. And both are to be received with thanksgiving, and they are sanctified, set apart, as special, by the word of God and prayer. Now, I don't know what's going to grace your Thanksgiving table today, but whatever it is, it's a gift from God. There's nothing unclean or evil about it. So thank him for it and bless his name because of it. Because everything that we receive comes from his open hand of blessing. Even though the turkey may get a little overdone and you have a Griswold Thanksgiving, it's still something to be thankful for. But let's not just stop being thankful for our food. Let us learn to be thankful for all things. You know, one of the dangers I think that we face living in an affluent society as we do is we begin to take God's blessings for granted. Sometimes we almost start to get to the point where we demand them, and we're not thankful as we should be. And when we stop giving thanks, we're entering into some dangerous territory. A careful reading of Romans chapter 1, you know, shows us what happens when a society ceases to give thanks to God as the originator of all their blessings. I'll start it at verse 21. Paul writes, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And it all starts when we stop being thankful to God. It's where it starts. And just take a look in around our nation today, and you can see the results of a society that has stopped giving thanks to God and acknowledging Him as the one who bestows blessings. And it's interesting to me that new Christians have a tendency to be more thankful than those who've been around for a while. But it should not be so. And it wouldn't be so if we would daily consider what the Lord has done for us. How by His grace He called us to the cross, granted us salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this, you know, thanklessness would not be a problem if we would stop and consider daily what we have been forgiven. Not only, you know, our deeds, but let's not forget our thought life and the things that we say. Thought, word, and deed. Daily consider what God has forgiven you. Luke 7, beginning at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, the woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." And Jesus said, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And we could, you know, paraphrase that and just say, to whom that person who realizes that little is forgiven, you know, the one who's so proud, doesn't think that he's so bad, little is forgiven. And that same person expresses very little thanks. But the one who realizes that much has been forgiven expresses much thanks. And thanksgiving is best expressed in loving acts toward others. This slow decline in my own life of thankfulness became kind of apparent to me last week as I was preparing for last Sunday's message. I had to get out a commentary that I haven't used in years. I picked up the commentary and a slip of paper fell out, landed on the floor, and I picked it up. And it was dated spring of 1986, 20 years ago. And, you know, to say that it was spring is important because it wasn't something that I just concocted because it was Thanksgiving in November and I had to do it. It was something that I had done in the spring of 86, and it was a list of things that I was thankful for. And I'm just going to share it with you this morning, only to demonstrate to you and I how a person who is fresh on the heels of realizing the depth of what is forgiven him, what a thankful person that person is. I thank God for allowing me to serve in church. It seems like who would bother saying thank you for that? But it meant so much to me to be able to serve in his house. I thanked him for someone who had been burned and it was not as serious as it could have been. I thanked him for the recent conversion to Christ of my mother and my stepfather and my brother. I thanked him for the ministries of Jimmy Swaggart and Dr. Dobson and Pat Robertson, because these ministries were very instrumental in bringing me to Christ and in strengthening my faith. I thanked him for providing the expertise to install a bathroom in the basement of our house. A lot of funny stories along the way getting that job done, but it got done and I was very thankful. The time I was supposed to be at a wedding, and I just installed the pipes and glued them together and turned on the water and didn't let the glue set. That was water. Joanie had to go to the wedding without me. I thanked him for the opportunity to go fishing with my son. And he had landed a northern, a big northern. And I blundered in landing it and it got away. But I still thank the Lord. We did get some crappies and I thanked him for them and how delicious they were. I thank God for his faithfulness to me. Here I was, a relatively new Christian, maybe 2 years since I had been converted. And evidently I had some spiritual struggles. And I thank God for his faithfulness to me, not letting me get away like that northern did. I thanked him for the dedication of the people that I saw in the church we were attending as they came on a weekend and cleaned the church. I thanked him for guiding me through the process of fixing a lawnmower. Anyone who's ever seen me in mechanical things, you know what a miracle that was. That I could actually fix a lawnmower. Amazing. I thanked him for coffee. I probably even thanked him for coffee breath. I don't remember. But I thanked him for coffee. I thanked him for dealing with my pride. Evidently, he had knocked me down a few notches for some reason or another, and I just thanked him for that. I thanked him for the blessings of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. How many of you remember them? I thanked him for a good dental checkup. Look, Mom, no cavities! I thanked him for that. I thanked him for a good Christian friend, who's still a good Christian friend to this day. I thanked him for money that was raised for mother and unborn baby care. That was when they used to have the bowl-a-thon in spring. I thanked him for being able to go out in the backyard and play Peggy on a Bouncy Fly with Robin and Jay. I thanked him that someone had loaned me a rototiller and I could prepare the garden for planting. I thanked him I had evidently had a fall on my bike. I thanked him for protecting me from that in that fall and that my bike wasn't broken. I remember those days too. We didn't have a lot. And sometimes things would just kind of appear out of nowhere and bless us. And I thanked him for a bag of potatoes that someone had given us. You know, like one of those big, what, 50 pounders, you know? I thanked him for the blessing of hearing a musical duet in church. It just touched my heart. I thanked him for the healing that the Lord used a group of us men for us. We went to a home who had read in Scripture, if you're sick, call the elders and pray and anoint with oil. And we came and we prayed and we anointed. And she was healed. And not only that, but she was converted to Christ. I thanked him for a successful operation for a family member. I thanked him for healing my ankle, which I had rolled playing basketball. I thanked him for a financial gift to the Lifeline radio ministry, a ministry that we had in the early days on a radio station. I thanked him for safe travel to Milwaukee and back. I thanked him for a field trip my son was on. I thanked him for blueberry bushes in our backyard. I thanked him for the opportunity to play tennis with a friend. I thanked him because he had helped my mother and my stepfather to quit smoking. And the last thing I thanked him for, it must have been a rainy day, I thanked him for the rain. Now that list, you know, probably pretty boring to you. It should be. You know, there's some personal things on there. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't very boring to me or Joni when I shared it with her last week, as it just flooded us with memories of the faithfulness of God. And I guarantee you it wasn't boring to God either. How he loves it when we give thanks. I'm so thankful to see you here this morning. To let God know, giving thanks is important to me, God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I encourage you today on this Thanksgiving Day, no matter where you are, make your own list. You know, if you've got family over, at least go around the table and say, you got something that you're thankful for? Something that the Lord did for you this past year? And it might be a little clumsy making a list. I wouldn't, you know, don't have to write it down. You get turkey gravy all over it. It's good exercise. I encourage you on a regular basis to do it. You know, we have a quarterly prayer vigil here at the church. Take time to come. Sign up for an hour. If you bring a piece of paper and pencil with you and start writing down the things that you are thankful for, you'll need more than an hour. And then, you know, keep that list. Because who knows, someday you may be going through your books and it'll flitter down to the floor. And you'll pick it up. And you'll rejoice again as you see the things you were thankful for at a time in your life when once again you see the faithfulness of our great and benevolent God. Better yet, maybe even think about the impact it might have on future generations. When I'm dead and gone, someday Robin and Jay are going to be going through my books, should the Lord tarry, and that list is going to flitter out again and they're going to see it. It's going to warm their hearts as they think back to the faithfulness of God. You know, the Lord says that we should all become like children to enter the kingdom of God. And on this Thanksgiving Day, there's just one simple childhood prayer that just kept coming back to me as I was writing this message. It's so simple and so childlike. And yet so fitting. Remember it? Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you, God, for birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. So simple. And yet it covers all the bases, doesn't it? May this prayer never be far from our hearts and our lips, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.